Hi everyone, welcome back to Womansplain. Today we are having a very special guest, Veronica Mazzardi. She is CEO and founder of Edgies, the easiest way to eat your veggies. She's here to talk about her company and to learn more about her.
We're so excited you're here.
And I'll pass it off to you to introduce yourself and tell us a little about your company.
Amazing. Thank you for having me. I'm Veronica, the founder of Edgies Veggie Sprinkles, the easiest way to eat your veggies. Amazing. I started the company almost 2 years ago when I was working at an investment bank where I worked for about 5 years. And like a lot of busy professionals in many different fields, I was kind of slammed and didn't have enough time to take care of myself. When I could, I would make the healthy decision, get a sweet green salad, but every once in a while, you know, I'd get some takeout or something. And I wanted a way that I could add some nutrition to those meals without, you know, getting into the kitchen and cooking, which, as you can probably imagine, is not appropriate in an investment bank's coffee kitchen. So I started playing around with an industrial dehydrator in my little East Village apartment. Wow. And I found a solution, which was just simple dehydrated vegetables. I was pretty surprised it wasn't already a thing. So we started selling it at the farmer's market, and honestly, I put a pin in it. But then people started reaching out via email, and they're like, are you coming back? And so I knew that this was something that could help people and the people were interested in. And so last May, I quit my job to start the company.
Congrats.
And it's been an amazing journey of learning about the food industry, which I didn't know a single thing about, learning about nutrition, learning about packaging, you know, learning about marketing, all this stuff. So it's been a fun journey.
That's awesome. I mean, as women in finance, we know how demanding the hours are. So when you were first starting, you know, experimenting and building their product, how did you kind of balance your full-time job with Edgies?
I mean, I tried. It was more of an experimentation stage that I was able to do while I was at my bank. But I don't think that finance is something where you have a ton of time to start a side gig. You're either all in or you're all out. And if you're not all in, you know, it can have bad consequences at work. So I think a lot of people feel like if they're going to pursue their side passion while they're at a really demanding job, they have to sacrifice other things that are important, like working out or seeing their friends. And for me, that was kind of a non-negotiable. So I knew that I either had to go all in or stay in finance. And that was very scary.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. I mean, I would love to hear about too, just like, your obviously there's so much logistics to creating like a product like this. Like, what was your process? Obviously you were experimenting originally. What was your process of finding like a manufacturer and like, I mean, obviously designing the can and the tin? And I feel like all of that is like so unique and really special. I'd love to kind of hear about that and what your process has been. Probably was really tough.
Yeah, I you know, I started asking around for who could do essentially what's called custom milling. So Edgies are a very particular size. They're the size of salt. And the idea is we want to evoke, like, this is something that you can top any meal with the same way that you top your meals with salt. And for me, like, the hero item that I think about, if Edgies were on this every table the same way Heinz ketchup was on the table, then we would be a success because people would be eating healthier. It would be very effortless, and it's not even something you think about, right? Like, you just like, where's the ketchup? You know, where's the Edgies? Something like that. And that's a really, like, positive, you know, thing that we go toward. And so I wanted to make sure that it was something that was super high quality and that had this particular size. So there were not a lot of people who were willing to do this kind of custom milling size. We ended up finding a small family-run farm in Coachella Valley, which is like randomly really nice and cute. But it's a beautiful place, and I visited the farm. It's gorgeous. And something that I was thinking about when I was dehydrating in my apartment was, you know, what a waste of energy this is, right? Like, it takes 12 hours to dehydrate kale in your apartment. It takes a really long time. And it's a lot of energy, and there's this little oven going. So wouldn't it be great if we could dehydrate it somewhere that's already naturally arid, already dry? And hopefully one day when we have some more cash, we're bootstrapped. I'd love to do a sustainability analysis to see how that choice positively impacts, you know, the industrial process and all that good stuff. So there were a few elements that I was thinking about. So that was the product itself. And then on the packaging side, I spoke to a lot of people who are, you know, veterans in the food industry, and they all told me to use plastic to to house our edgies. And that was not something that I was willing to compromise on. And there are a lot of options when you're starting a food company. You can do all kinds of things. They could be in a bag. They could be in this. They could be in that. I knew I wanted a sprinkle. And so I had the option of tin or the option of plastic. And we're just not going to compromise on that at this point in humanity. So that was an expensive business decision for me as a business owner. It makes the margins a lot tougher, but not something that I'm willing to compromise on. And the tins as well. They're a custom tin so that the sprinkle function pops off and you can refill them. So the sustainability element was something that, you know, we focus on how easy it is to eat the vegetables and how the nutrition is there. But for me, the sustainability is non-negotiable on the back end.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And I think this is such a fun way to get your veggies in, as you said. Why kale? Like, why did you pick kale?
Kale is super nutritious. It's a superfood. I think it's gotten a lot of flack in recent years. A lot of that, I think, is fairly unjustified. Kale is a really healthy, nutritious, you know, food. A lot of people talk about oxalates, but spinach is much higher in oxalates, and you'd have to eat an inordinate amount of kale to have any negative effects from oxalates. Kale is super rich in vitamin K, vitamin C. It even has some protein in there, which is very trendy. Wow. There's 22 grams of protein in a tin of veggies.
Oh my gosh.
Which I wasn't really focused on, but when I did the nutritional analysis, we used a third-party lab, I was pleasantly surprised. And then there's a great amount of fiber. So it's a great kind of almost like scrubbing bubble for your body,
right,
as you're eating, you know, maybe that takeout. So it's a great, powerful food. And I think when you pack it into one tin, it can do a lot of good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, personally for me, I definitely don't eat enough vegetables. I'm sure like a high percentage of people don't as well. How do you think veggies would like work alongside? I feel like there's been a huge boom in like this supplement department as well, and like the supplement industry. Like, how would you kind of compare veggies? Maybe they're saying it's honestly similar to a vitamin or a supplement, or that it's not necessary because I take like supplements or vitamins.
Yeah, so supplements and vitamins are just in a completely different part of the grocery store. A lot of them are made with some artificial ingredients, which can be good or can be bad. I think edgies positions those same vitamins in a completely different way than the vitamin aisle. I think a lot of people skip that aisle when they go to the grocery store. A lot of those things are really expensive. They cost, you know, $20 more. And so this is taking that same value proposition. People need more vegetables, people need more vitamins, and taking it out of that supplement aisle and saying, this is real food. There's nothing in here you don't understand. You can add it to things you're already eating. You don't need a new, you know, habit in the morning where you take a new vitamin. You just order your takeout, add this on top, and that's all you have to do. It's very easy to understand. And I think I'm also selling it as a food product, which is much more heavily regulated than the vitamin aisle. So you know that we're adhering to much more stringent standards than the vitamin aisle, who don't have to, you know, justify many of their claims.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to hear about the process of getting the FDA approval. I mean, that's also crazy. It must have been an insane process. I wanted to ask about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I learned a lot. claims on food products, especially to be able to say that something is high in a particular food, you need to have more than 20% of that daily value in the product. Mm. So edgies are high in vitamin K and vitamin C, and they're a good source of manganese and folate.
Okay.
So good source means that it's 10% or more.
Wow.
There's technicalities with how you're able to message certain things.
Wow.
And also the serving size of edgies. You can add as much as you want, honestly. If you want to eat kale that day and you don't have any in your fridge, you could add a lot more than our serving size. But the serving size is mandated by the government. So you have to fit into your category's serving size. So we are in, I believe it's the seasoning category. Mm-hmm. So 5 grams is mandated by the government. That's what we can show. And so we're like limited to that.
Wow.
But edgies are 20% fiber by weight. Because it's not a larger serving size, we can't say it's high in fiber.
But,
you know, there are 11 grams of fiber in a tin of veggies.
Got it.
Wow, that's interesting. There's so many rules around even like advertising for it and specific
And it extends to social media too. So being super careful with how you're responding to comments, being super careful citing your sources, not claiming things. You can't really claim anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's limiting, but it's good because I think it's protecting the consumer. Mm-hmm. So we have to be really, you know, stringent with what we say.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
So right now you run all parts of the business, right? You are running it by yourself. Let's talk a little bit about like marketing, how you've had fun with actually being like the social media person, but also the CEO. What is your marketing strategy right now?
So our marketing strategy is really boots on the ground. I've been showing everything I've done to grow the company. I do Instagram polls to see who, you know, how we make like major business decisions, which there are a few options for Eddie Edgy, who's our little icon on the front, who's sunbathing, drying himself out. And then our Instagram followers got to pick which one, which versions of those go on the front. And so it's really an exercise of seeing how we can be of service to people. Our mission is to build the easiest way to eat your veggies, and that may change over time. What people want is really, really important to me. I am an agent of, you know, people's desires. And so making sure that it's a very collaborative process was very important to me. We have about 2,000 followers on Instagram, 500 of those placed orders. So we have a really active community. And I'm really proud of that. Small but mighty for now, but hoping to grow it in the coming months.
Yeah, and right now we can buy veggies online, right? And and I know you're in pop-up recently.
Online, yeah, we're in pop-up grocer, and we're launching Amazon as well. We're mostly D2C for now, but looking to do some limited retail here in New York. See how we perform on the shelf.
That's great.
That's amazing. And I would love, obviously, going from banking for 5 years to starting your own, like, consumer food company. Obviously, it's a huge switch. What do you think are, like, the main skills you think you got out of, like, you know, being in finance and banking for 5 years that you think you could use that have helped you kind of start a company?
I've had to learn a lot. So I will say I was surprised by how little the finance played into everything. I think for now we're bootstrapped. And that's on purpose. I think if I wasn't, my answer would be, you know, pitching investors. That's where that skill would be the most relevant. But it is helpful even so far as pitching, for example, retailers on why they should take us on, to have a sense of, you know, who your audience is, what they're looking for, what their incentives are. And I think that that's a skill that you develop in banking, making your pitch decks for different, you know, whether you're a seller or buyer, you have a sense of, you know, speaking to your audience and understanding what they value and building a data-based presentation of those things.
Yeah, I'm sure your pitch books, whenever you take that route, will be beautiful.
Oh, yes. Like, sure. Everything will be aligned.
Exactly, yes.
Did you do any sort of, like, market research before you started Edgy's? Like, did you look at, like, what – I mean, obviously the – I really can't think of innovation in condiments in a, like – at all. I feel like this is really unique in terms of like a new food product because it is like a condiment or I guess what do you call it? A seasoning. And I think that is really unique and obviously like really filling kind of a hole in the market for innovation in that area. Because I feel like honestly like the condiments and seasonings have been the same for the last 100 years.
Yeah.
Did you do any sort of market sizing or like, I don't know, market research around seasoning and condiments? And like, is that how you kind of led to this like kind of specific structure of Edgy's or how did you kind of lead there?
Yeah. I mean, the origin of it was like my need for, you know, vegetables and the way that I like to apply it was kind of in the sprinkle function. So by the form of the delivery of it, it lends itself to being called a seasoning. The seasoning aisle is an interesting one because it's mostly for flavor, right?
Yeah. And mostly for cooking. Like, you don't, like, vast majority of seasonings are not, like, just sprinkled on top of stuff, right? Yeah.
You have, like, your hot sauces, which people typically add to stuff when they're not cooking. But besides that, it's mostly kind of, you know, the cinnamons of the world used for baking, that type of thing. Edgy's addresses a much larger demographic. Anyone who's looking for more vitamins and minerals, which is, I believe, 90% of Americans are looking to eat more vegetables.
Wow.
90% of Americans are deficient in fruits and vegetables.
Damn.
So it's pretty kind of obscene how how many people are missing their vegetables. And so I think this is a really, it's new. I don't know why it doesn't exist in the U.S. In other countries, in Japan, you have furikake, so the seaweed seasoning that people add to their rice. And there's actually a similar product in Germany that's quite common, which is a dehydrated vegetable. The dehydrated vegetable market is growing rapidly. I think as, you know, we take a look at food waste, dehydrated vegetables start to make a lot of sense. We don't want to be throwing away food. I think as people, you know, inflation hits supermarkets and people start to think about where am I losing the most money, most of the food waste in the United States comes from households, and then zooming in a little bit further, from produce in households.
That makes sense.
So there is a food waste angle as well to the Edgy's product, that, again, for me, these things are really important.
I think
for a lot of consumers, they're more concerned with nutrition first and value first, and so we try to communicate that at the primary
level. And convenience, right? I mean, this is like the maximum convenience you could possibly get, which I love. I mean, personally,
I like never cook, and I would buy produce and it would go bad because I'm never at home. So this 100%. Is like the perfect thing to just have on the go.
I mean, I
think this is incredible, like, product.
Thank you.
And I think, I mean, a lot of it, I'm sure. Do you feel like you're fighting against maybe? I mean, this is like, it's so revolutionary though, and like consumer habits. Do you feel like you're kind of fighting against consumer habits to, like, explain sort of the value of your product?
Yes and no. I think, ultimately, the product is suited to fit easily into people's lives.
Okay.
Right? We're not asking anyone to change the way that they're currently eating. We're saying, add this. It's a small step, but it's a healthy step. And hopefully, you know, small steps lead to big changes, and hopefully it's like, all right, well, you know, now I'm already getting some vegetables and why don't I add some fresh vegetables, and kind of it's a transition piece. So I do think it's somewhat of a novel concept. So a lot of people comment, like, you know, on my Instagram, you know, like, what about fresh vegetables? Like, why are you telling me not to eat fresh vegetables? And that's not our mission at all. Our mission is to get Americans to eat nutritious food quickly, and we think this is a great stepping stone to that.
Totally. No, I mean, I think it's also great for kids too. I mean, obviously, like, kids traditionally do not like their vegetables. Do you know what I'm saying? And actually, there's a lot of, like, evolutionary reasoning behind that. Like, children's taste buds are really, like, actually evolutionarily against things that are sweet and fatty, because, like, evolutionarily they needed, like, things that were fat and sweet basically in order to live. And so, like, they, and, like, basically over time, your adulthood, your taste buds effectively die. And so, like, things that taste really bitter as a child don't taste as bitter as an adult. That's actually a great way for children, personally. And I'm also thinking, like, pregnant women's another one, because, like, your taste buds change a lot when you're pregnant. A lot of pregnant women don't like vegetables while they're pregnant. That's also an evolutionary reasoning. So I think it's honestly amazing. Or, like, a lot of people just don't like their vegetables, right? Or, like, or maybe if you have, like, I don't know, I have a lot of family members that have got, like, bowel and gastric problems, who, like, can't eat a lot of things that are acidic, and so they're missing a lot of things. Like, honestly, I think it's such an incredible idea. And, like, I mean, Americans are just really don't eat healthily. Like, we don't. And we also just have unhealthy food, like, that is provided to us. So, I don't know. I think it's excellent.
Thank you. Our food is also really highly processed. And part of that is to preserve it.
Totally.
So that things can be more affordable, so that they can be on shelf for a long time.
Yeah.
Air drying is the oldest preservation method.
Totally.
In history.
In history. Yeah.
So it's a really natural way to
preserve
food and to have, you know, that benefit from highly processed foods without it actually being highly processed or this unnatural thing. It's the most simple thing you can do to a vegetable to make it do what it needs to do to make it more convenient for you.
Do you see Edgy's expanding beyond kale, or you think that is the value prop?
Yeah, I think we'll definitely expand beyond kale. I'd love to do kind of a blend of vegetables and want to make sure that that's all quite scientific based. So we have some studies that we're undergoing in the coming months to see if we can improve the drying process to make it even more healthy. So that would still just be just the kale, but then building on that to see if we can create a really nutritious blend. ideally, again, for me, sustainability is everything. Ideally, using some byproducts of some of the more popular crops that are grown, mm-hmm. To see if we can do something sustainable to prevent food waste.
I love that. Do you ever see the product itself kind of shifting? Right now, it's obviously focused on top of like cooked food, right? Maybe switching to more of like an ingredient, I guess, in food that you're making as well, instead of more of a seasoning. Do you see that sort of shift?
Yeah, I use it that way a lot when I cook at home. I use it quite often. Like I said, it's, you know, it's a meal topper, and that's how we sell it. But it's also great for when your kale is rotting in the back of your fridge and you need some vegetables. In an emergency, in a pinch. So I think as a bulk ingredient, it's, you know, it's ready to go.
That's awesome. Have you thought about targeting like offices or hotels? I feel like it's a great like travel product, honestly. Like,
I would love this in my office.
Like, yeah, or like, I think like, especially when I travel a lot for work, I eat so badly. Like, honestly, like travel, it's so bad because it's like, you're just eating out every day, right? Yeah. You don't have a lot of times if you're traveling somewhere like, with not a lot of healthy options, right? Yeah. New York, we're so blessed because we have so many healthy takeout options. We really do. And like, even if you're traveling here, it's like there are a million places you can go with like very healthy takeout options. But like, I don't know, if I'm taking a work trip to Texas or Ohio, it's like the options are a lot more limited. I feel like this would be a great target to do like hotels or consulting firms or like
airlines.
In offices. It would be great. Have you thought about that? I don't know.
Yeah. I took a really long flight home to Argentina over the holidays, and I was served a very sad asparagus plate. And it's a great product for those moments where you're like, this is nasty. Mm-hmm. I am, you know, looking out for myself. I brought my edgies, and I'm gonna add them in whatever context. They're portable. You know,
they are.
They're green and they're dried. So you might think that you might have some problems going through TSA, but I've had no problems.
You realize you should advertise that. Like, good for TSA. You know what I'm saying? Or like, I don't know, like you're in the airport, there's not very many options. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think like those moments are like, there's literally four places and they're like all like, fast food and I'm starving and I'm going to eat something. Yeah. You know, it's like, it is really great for those moments. Right.
And regarding the corporate setting, that's the dream. At my launch party, I asked everyone, you know, most of you have already bought a tin. You're here because you support us. Take an extra tin, put it in your workplace. I want to see edgies at Evercore. I want to see edgies at JP Morgan. Like, let's get those corporate people eating their veggies. And my brother's in, he's in medical school, so he spends a lot of time in the hospital.
Totally. That's another one. That'd be great.
Yeah. And he was telling me just like a lot of physicians just chug Pediasure between shifts, essentially, because they have really no time to like sit down and eat lunch. And it's not, in a lot of places, very commonly accepted that you should be able to sit down and eat lunch.
It's so, like, literally horrible.
Yeah.
How we treat our residents is like crazy. Another like just crazy thing that
I agree.
It's like ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. So there a lot of physicians are eating really highly processed food, and expediency is really important. So you have these really highly skilled jobs, bankers, mm-hmm. you know,
lawyers.
Physicians, lawyers who are not getting the nutrition that they need, and
and
they have high pressure jobs. The stakes Absolutely. Of their decisions are really high. And so how do you meet people with limited amounts of time and say, this is something easy you can always rely on?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of these highly skilled jobs too, it's like you're absolutely, I mean, not even that you don't have time to cook at all, but it's like literally the job is built around you not cooking, right? Yeah. Like literally, and when you're in banking and consulting, it's like literally they give you free food so you don't go home and cook, right? So, and so you can work more.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's literally the entire infrastructure is against you grocery shopping.
Right.
And like against you getting healthy food, mm-hmm. which is actually ridiculous.
Right. And so like my diet at my bank was, I had my sweet green rotation for lunch.
Yeah, totally.
And then when I would, you know, work late, that's the time where you're like at your weakest.
Totally.
Your boss has probably gone home.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are there alone.
Oh, maybe the lights Thai are flickering food, off. Like,
and it's Thai food, but it's a $25, maybe $30 now stipend. So you can't get a side salad.
No.
you're getting like the tikka masala.
100%.
You're not getting a side salad.
No, I agree. I'm like literally the amount. I mean, I would have like my rotation. I had Taco Tuesday going on. Pizza Monday.
Yeah.
Burger Wednesday. Like, do you know what I'm saying? I was like, none of that shit was healthy. Right. Okay. Like, it was delicious.
Yeah, it was delicious, and it had to be delicious, and there's a time and a place for.
Yeah, 100%. But it's like, as like now that I work from home, I have a lot more flexibility, yeah. And I eat like healthy dinners like four nights a week. Do you know what I'm saying? And then like honestly, on the weekends I order out or whatever. Yeah. But it's like that's totally fine. Like you can totally indulge twice a week.
Yeah.
But like doing it six times a week, which is what I was doing it, is definitely I'm doing that now. Like you're just like okay, and like you're living such a high stress lifestyle, but like you're not gaining weight or anything, so it's like it doesn't feel like it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
But it is eating into like your energy. It's eating into like your like honestly like long term health effects. A lot of these also people working really late are really young, so they're not seeing like the health effects that it's going to cause. But I mean, it's having just like even just an easy thing to really even shift that is, I think, so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw an influencer that was talking about, you know, they were making a joke and they were like, you know, why are all these, you know, tech bros and finance bros doing all this health optimization for what? Like to send an email?
Oh, yeah.
And it was super funny.
Yeah.
But when I thought about it a little bit, I was like, well, you know, you're sleeping less than 8 hours a night. Your brain is on all day. And if it's not, your performance will suffer.
You will get yelled at.
And you're also sitting for a really long time. So basically, you maybe, if you're lucky, have 1 hour to work out at like 6 a.m. in the morning.
Totally.
And you have to fit all of your movement for the day in those moments. So to see people want to optimize that brief time actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Totally. And they're fucking tired. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when I was a banking analyst and on like, I was in private equity, like, I was so tired. And like, honestly, I was just congratulating myself for working out. Yeah. Like, I was like, wow. Like, I am closing a deal and I made it to SoulCycle today.
Right.
I am not absolutely pushing my limit at SoulCycle. I am barely pedaling, but I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm like, it's great. And it, like, of course you're trying to optimize like those 40 minutes. So you can have another 20 minutes of sleep, which like makes a big difference.
Yeah. So you push yourself really hard.
Yeah, push yourself really hard.
And those moments where you do have like maybe 30 minutes to eat your food, like you're optimizing for your mental health, that is the only time in the day you have for you.
It's true.
And it's very brief and there's not a lot of time to think.
Yeah.
And so I think all this to say, like tying it back to edgies, like it's really a product that is built for like mindless like nutrition. Like this is something, shake. I'm not even thinking.
Yeah.
Whatever's on the plate, it's easy. And I think easy and not having to think about it is how we're going to get people to eat a little bit better.
What is your favorite way to eat edgies? I know it's like savory, but you can put it in dessert. Yeah. Like, what is your type of go-to?
I think it's really great in soup. I'm a big soup girl, especially in the winter.
Especially in the winter. And it's so easy to make.
No one eats soup at the office. I don't know if it's like a women thing. Like, literally, I'm the only person eating soup. So I will put that in my soup.
Well, I think it's usually like bowls, right?
Yeah.
You get a lot of bowls.
Right.
Bowls is a great application too. Like rice is awesome. Ooh. Also, a really nice part about edgies is that it looks, because of how it's cut.
It looks like an herb.
Yeah, it looks like a little cilantro or something. Mm-hmm. So it's not visually intrusive.
Yeah, it looks appetizing.
And so that's one of my favorite things too, because I like everything to look pretty.
Totally. So it also just makes it feel more natural if you're like, because a lot of people will put like cilantro on top of their food or something, right? Too. Yeah. So like that feels like more fitting in. Like you go like to a normal, you know, addition or seasoning.
Yeah.
As well. No, I love that. What do you, in terms of like, I guess, growth and marketing, etc., how, like, in 5 years, I mean, I think this sound for me, I mean, what sort of made you decide to bootstrap your company, I guess? I feel like this, for me, like, hearing your story, the origin, sort of, like, the really unique market focus, the focus on, like, honestly, high, like, meaning all these things sound like a very attractive investor like product in consumer space. Yeah. So I just would love to hear about like your story about deciding to bootstrap and your reasoning behind it, and if you ever would like, you know, investment.
Well, I am the investor. So I believe that it is a product with a huge market, huge addressable market.
Yeah.
It's a simple product.
Totally.
It's easy to manufacture.
Probably high margins, honestly.
Yes and no. The tins complicate that. Mm-hmm. And the tins are also affected by tariffs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fascinating.
Not the ones that are happening now, but the ones from the previous
previous
term,
administration.
Because custom tins are not made domestically.
Okay.
and we wanted them to be custom so that they could be refillable. So yes and no, and especially when you're operating, this is something actually that I think people should know, is that a small brand is operating at what's called like the lowest MOQ for a lot of manufacturers. So they are getting the worst pricing of anyone. So the reason that you might see at like these little shoppy shops, you know, you look at a food and you're like, how could they be charging this?
Yeah.
The answer to that is that they're getting the worst pricing.
Totally.
And
100%.
And that was a reason that, you know, it's great to go with the VC route, right? Like you have these investors, they give you a bunch of money, they believe in it, and you go as if you kind of skip the proof of concept stage a lot of times. You're just like, we believe in this idea. We have not proven it. We're going to produce it really large. The pricing will be better because you're not operating at those super low MOQs. And you try it out and see how it goes. And if it crashes and burns, it crashes and burns. I think for me, it takes a while for me to like trust a food brand, and I don't necessarily want people wanting to grow a company so quickly that they're compromising on certain things. And for me, I'm pretty confident that if I went for, you know, some investors, they would ask me to change the sustainable packaging.
Yeah.
So that we could have better margins and so that we could get, you know, grow quicker
yeah.
and all
totally.
That good stuff.
I get it.
And yeah. there are just certain things at this stage that I'd like to prove the concept with some of those non-negotiables first. And then maybe we'll go out and get some mm-hmm. get some capital at a later stage. I'm not saying I'm fully opposed to it.
Totally.
But I also believe in the simplicity of the product. Yeah. And a lot of the VC model is designed to grow to a certain growth stage in a certain yeah. amount of time. And that requires adding on a bunch of products. You might notice
yeah.
this
yeah.
when a company is really big, they come out with all these product lines and eventually it starts to get a bit confused.
Yeah,
totally.
That's because they have investors that are pressuring them to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I think food is something that is really personal, yep. should be high quality and should be protected. And we don't have enough of that right now. And so I just want to make sure that we're sticking by those values, especially in the early stages as we're building trust with people. And I want them to see me and know that I care and that mm-hmm. I'm listening to them. And not like this big marketing machine.
Yeah, I think it's really hard. Like we see examples of companies growing too fast
yeah.
and too much. And as like consumers, you get really confused. And I think the whole way that you built the brand was like you're the face of Edgies. And I feel like with outside capital, you do kind of lose that a little bit. So, I mean, I totally respect your decision there.
I'm not saying we won't need it at some point.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, made of money. And there have been a lot of moments where I have wished that I, you know, have some support
yeah.
outside. I think we could, you know, things could be flashier. Our production could be more...
For
you know,
sure.
nice.
Right.
It could be better.
There are also a lot of in-between options. I mean, I'm just thinking of my investor brain. I'm like, this would be really attractive to investors. Like, I just think, and there are a lot of consumer products that aren't, in all honesty, that are like really successful and they really like, they are wonderful for the consumer, but they're not necessarily like investor bait, if that makes
yeah.
sense. But this, I think they would love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's also the type of thing that like the VCs, it's like something they would use. Do you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And I
yeah.
like a lot of it. I know that's like, I mean, that's a big reason why female founders often don't get investment because
yeah.
most of the time female founders are creating things that are like female oriented, which
mm-hmm.
makes sense. And 90% of VCs are men.
Yeah.
So, and actually there's even more male investor, like it's early stage investors are more male dominated even than later stage investors,
yes.
which
mm-hmm.
is like wild. But this is something that would be really attractive to them. So that's all. But like, I think I really respect your idea. Like I totally understand from being from the finance side too, just seeing kind of how predatory and difficult it can be to be an operating founder, and also the fact that you're a solo founder.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that too. How has that been? And like, I feel like they're obviously being a founder is so difficult and lonely. How do you think you've kind of been able to also be a solo founder, run this company yourself?
Well, I'm not a solo founder.
Okay.
I have a dog named Mortadella.
We love.
Who is by my side along the way. Our favorite way of working together is he sits on my lap and puts his head like right at the edge
Aww.
Of the keyboard.
Aww.
So he's there, you know, he's in my meetings sometimes. I'm
that.
Like, you know what? I love finance for a reason. My dog is attending this meeting.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, it is pretty lonely. I've been talking to him a lot. yeah, that's tough. I think having a co-founder is a double-edged sword sometimes. If you have a great co-founder, they can be really value additive and they can also be a great emotional support.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a bad co-founder, things can go really awry really quickly. And so, you know, again, double-edged sword, but I think what you benefit from when you're a solitary founder is that there's like a cohesion of vision. And that's a lot of work for me. And up until the launch, so a week ago, it's mostly been like an ideation R&D stage, right? Like things are not ready yet. So I'm, you know, first building, you know, looking for a farm. There's not a lot of time pressure on that. Looking for a packaging partner. This is like a research project, essentially. Like there's no time pressure. Now that the product is made, there is a lot of time pressure. And I'm starting to feel very overwhelmed. I'm not going to lie to you. And I think, you know, hopefully the product sells well and I can bring on some help, but probably in the form of consultants. But it does get to be really overwhelming. However, I have been in, I guess at this point, two very demanding jobs. I've been an investment banker where I was working around the clock, and now I'm an entrepreneur who's working around the clock. And it is a completely different feeling to do work that you believe in than to do work that you may not believe in, or that's for somebody else, or that feels not important. To me, like, this is a product that can really help people, and it feels important, and getting the word out there is more like, it's not like I'm slinging my product, it's like, I think this can really help people, and the more people that hear about it, the better they will feel, the more healthy they'll feel, the easier it'll be for them to get veggies into the mouths of their children. Like, this is very different. And so the work is a lot, but it's very, very worth it.
Yeah, I mean, making that switch, I think, was probably the biggest decision that you've probably made so far. And we've seen a lot of female, like, people in banking, consulting, very demanding jobs, kind of making that switch into founding, you know, consumer type of brands.
Yeah.
And you talked a little bit about, I guess, the difficulties of that, being a solo founder. What has been the biggest challenge, you think, so far? And what's your favorite thing about it?
I love the creative work. I did not get that for 5 years in my banking job, unless you count formatting slides as creative. But I love the creative side of it. It's so much fun. It's like doing a little art project for work. I love talking to creative people, thinking about photo shoots, thinking about how to communicate all these great values in, you know, little pieces of art is very, very fun. So I love that part of Edgies. And then also working in the food space, founders are just so passionate about what they're doing, whether they have a culinary aim, whether they have a nutritional aim, whether they have, you know, a social justice aim, they're all, you know, going full throttle toward that. And a lot of times the founders are an embodiment of the customer as well. And so it's really fun to see people who are so engrossed in what they're building and what they're making, and also who are creating things that don't exist already. That is incredible. And my favorite people to talk to are founders. I've grown such a nice community, a lot of whom you know and have interviewed on this show, of women specifically who are building CPG companies. It's a niche within the VC world or I guess within the entrepreneurial world of a lot of women founders. And that's fantastic. That's really exciting.
Yeah, we agree. Obviously we started this show to promote women in like finance, tech, and entrepreneurship. And then we found such a niche of like female founders and consumer. Yeah. And we've just realized it's been like all of our guests. And it's honestly just an incredible community. Many who were like had very highly demanding jobs before. And then now are just like so incredible, unique, like wonderful perspectives. And I think they've also found a really supportive network and which we want to continue to grow. Well, this has been so amazing to have you on, Veronica. I'm so excited about your product. We always end on what advice for all of our founders. We'd love to, if you're like a young woman who wants to start her own company, what advice would you give them?
Be your customer. You're going to put a lot of work. You're going to put nights, days, all your hours into thinking through your product and how to share it with the world. And if you understand what people want, then it's a lot easier to do all of that and to put in all of that effort. So let it be a representation of something you truly desire.
That's awesome. We love that.
We love that. Thank you so much for coming. Us.
Where can we find you on socials?
Yeah, on social media.
Yeah, EDGGIES on Instagram and on TikTok, and EDGGIES.com to buy some edgies.
Perfect. We love it. It's such a cute name, by the way.
Oh, yeah. How did you come up with the name? Last question.
It's Easy Veggies. Edgies Veggies.
I love that.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's good that it's veggies if you, like, expand so you don't have kale in the name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know if you guys have ever had, like, raspberry powder, but it's really good. I'm interested in fruits as well.
Interesting. Oh, I love that. I love dried fruits. Yeah. Generally, I love it way more than normal fruit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've been using, like, goji powder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
also use protein powder all the time, so it's like, which is a good one. Okay, well, thank you so much for having on, Veronica. Edgies, also please email us womensplayedpod1@gmail.com. womensplayedpod, please reach out to us on socials too if you have any questions for Veronica or know any other female founders. And thanks so much.
Thanks for listening.
Yay. Thanks, guys.